I'm Karen Florin, and this is the Storyline Podcast. Today, we're talking with Day reporter Erica Moser, one of the lead reporters for our pandemic coverage. In February, as the COVID-19 vaccine effort was ramping up in Connecticut, she came up with the idea of surveying vaccine recipients. Her story on the results was published Sunday on theday.com and in the Day's printed edition. Erica, thanks for joining me. Can you talk about why you decided to conduct a survey and how you went about doing it?
Yeah, so this was an idea that I had started thinking about actually back in the fall, you know, back in fall, early winter. In November, we had seen the really promising results from Pfizer's phase three trial. That's when we saw, you know, the 95% effectiveness number. And at that point and into December, it was becoming really clear that this was going to be a tiered rollout, you know, happening in phases. People were going to be eligible at different times, and that at first, demand was going to way outstrip supply. Eventually, they may be even, and then you'd hit a point where you had more supply than there was demand. So I was thinking that starting off with phase 1A, having the nursing home residents and staff, healthcare workers, medical first responders, these were going to be the people who were fully vaccinated, meaning 2 weeks after their second dose, before anyone else. So I thought, let's talk to them. And it ended up being talking to people in the next phase as well, 75 plus, about their experiences, just because for those people like myself, you know, I'm 27, so I'm not eligible until April 5th. And that's a group in that age range of 16 to 44. That is a group of 1.3 million people. Granted, some are already eligible in other categories, but a lot of people soon will be able to decide whether to get vaccinated. So I really wanted to talk to the people who are fully vaccinated about their experiences, just because it's one thing to see the data, to see the statistics about the effectiveness and about side effects, but it's really another to, you know, hear the voices of people in your community. And I think for a lot of people, that is kind of what assuages their concerns. And I've heard from, you know, first we were just hearing from elected officials and from doctors and epidemiologists that they thought, we kept hearing over and over again, as more people get vaccinated, they're going to have their friends and family saying, okay, I feel more comfortable with this. And I did hear that a bit as well, even in people I interviewed. So, you know, I just wanted to talk to them about what side effects they experienced, what made them want to get the vaccine in the first place, and conversations they've had about it with friends or family or coworkers.
And how did you conduct the actual survey? And then how many responses did you receive?
So this was something where my original plan was kind of a bit too grand and not feasible compared to what we ended up doing, that I had wanted to do, like, okay, we can go like survey several hundred people. And then I realized, you know, we're a newspaper, we're not a survey research company, so we don't have the scientific means to do that. So we instead put out a survey more just to identify people that I would then follow up with for phone interviews. So we had put out a survey just asking people for, you know, name, where they work, position, if they got Pfizer or Moderna, when they got the first and second shot, side effects, how excited they were or hesitant to get the vaccine in the first place. And from there, we got, I think, about 50 responses. And I also had a few people just call and leave me a voicemail. And so I followed up with almost all of them via email. And based on who I ended up hearing back from, I ended up doing 22 phone interviews last week.
And for some of our readers who might have felt left out of that survey because they didn't see it, how did we make people aware that there was, in fact, a survey they could respond to?
That was something that I think we had put that out through email, on Facebook, that was on our website. So yeah, a few different avenues through the Day, both online and in the physical paper.
So do you typically interview 22 people for a story? I think the answer is going to be no. But why did you feel it was important to have so many different voices in this particular story?
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. I normally don't interview 22 people. I think the last time I interviewed that many people was before the school reopening in August. I interviewed, I think, 30 teachers about their concerns with reopening. And it's tough because I ended up with 30 pages of notes typed out in a Word document, and you can't fit nearly all that in the article. There were some people I didn't quote at all or just had maybe one sentence on them. But I think this is a situation where I don't want to just make it, even though there was a bit of selection bias in the fact that people had to be, you know, coming to our website or reading our emails or looking at the paper to know about this. At the same time, I didn't want to make it seem like I was just cherry picking experiences. And I also really wanted to see where I could find some trends. You know, were there situations where I kept hearing the same thing from multiple people? So that's why I wanted to really talk to a lot of people, even if I didn't end up including all of them or including much of what some of them said.
And your story has such a great variety of responses. Can you talk about a few of those that really stood out?
Yeah, I think there was a few quotes in there that really got me. And I think I love, too, that, you know, in the past few months, because vaccination after phase one, I first went 75 plus, then 65 plus. I've been talking to a lot of people who are, you know, in their 60s, 70s, 80s about their experiences. And I think for some of those people, they're at a point in life where they just want to say whatever, and they're happy to, you know, be blunt and share their thoughts. And so I had one woman, this stuck out to me, Mary Mudo, who she had said to me that, you know, after getting her second dose, she was in bed all the next day just with her cat watching TV. But she said it's better than taking the dirt nap forever. And I don't think I'd heard the phrase dirt nap before to refer to dying, but I thought that was a colorful way of putting it. And I'd heard that from other people too. Some people, especially, you know, and this is someone, she's still in her 60s, but especially for people in their 70s and 80s and who may have pre-existing conditions, a lot of them just were really concerned and are saying, I don't want to die. And so that was something that stuck out to me. And also another trend that emerged, I think, from a lot of people that I talked to, partway through the interviews, I started asking more people, you know, are you changing your lifestyle at all as a result of being vaccinated? Is there anything you're doing now that you hadn't been doing before that you haven't done in a year or more? And a lot of people were telling me no, they haven't changed anything yet. They're still kind of waiting to see what happens, maybe for hospitalizations to go down, waiting for more guidance. And other people are just kind of dipping their toes into the water. I saw that there were some people who, you know, we're in that place where it's, oh, I can finally see my grandchildren or you know, have the I had dinner with my neighbor and there's six of us and we're all fully vaccinated. So I think that's a lot of what people are starting to do. And I think that's something I wanted to communicate to our readers as well, kind of saying, here's, you know, everyone is at the point where they're making their own decision on whether to get vaccinated. And then for people who do get vaccinated, they're deciding, okay, what do I do now? And some people, you know, already have been doing a lot. Other people. So it's really a spectrum. And I kind of wanted to highlight some of what I was hearing, similarities and differences among people's comfort level after being vaccinated.
And you wrote about a variety of side effects from the vaccines. Would you speak a little bit about that for those who are just now getting their appointments and maybe tell them what they should be able to expect if there's any kind of regularity there at all?
Yeah, that's something that really does vary. You know, I talked to one person who said, I would have loved to have been in the trials if I had been asked. But if I had been in the trials and gotten the vaccine, I would have thought I got the placebo because she just had nothing, no side effects. What I heard come up a few times was, you know, the most common thing is you know, a bit of pain or soreness or redness at the injection site. Some people just saying they just kind of felt fatigued, tired. And I did speak with one woman who's 52, and she her perspective or the way she put of the second dose was saying, I'm an overachiever. I got all of them in terms of the side effects that she had: headache, fever, chills, nausea, everything. Whereas after the first dose, she was like, okay, nothing much, no side effects, doing great. And we have heard for a while that side effects tend to be more severe after the second dose. And one thing I had done a bit of reading on just after talking to people was I'd heard some people say that they thought maybe side effects were worse among young people, and more to the fact too that I was talking mostly to people in their 60s and 70s and 80s. So I wasn't sure, you know, was that part of it that I was hearing more mild side effects because I was talking to older people. And so I did a bit of reading on that. And that was something I was reading, that doctors were saying side effects may be more severe in younger people because they have stronger immune systems. So that's something I'm not sure we've heard a ton about. And I thought it was interesting. And that's good for people to be prepared as well, because I know there was kind of the opposite fear I had heard from a reader a couple months ago of saying, you know, if some people have are older and have pre-existing conditions and come down with a 102 or 103 degree fever from the vaccine, you know, is that going to harm them as well if they have pre-existing conditions? So, but it sounds like, you know, the older people I were talking to were, you know, often the ones saying, nope, doing okay.
So this was a really great idea for a story, to conduct a survey and then interview some of our own local people to let them know our experiences. Can you talk a little bit about stories that we will be doing in the future as the vaccine rolls out?
Yeah, I know one thing we were just talking about internally this week was that there's still a lot of questions here around people who are pregnant, and is the vaccine safe for them? Are they getting the vaccine? I know I have seen from some one CDC report I read a few weeks ago that there have been a lot of, you know, people already who are pregnant and have been vaccinated, and there don't seem to be any issues there. But I do want to follow up with OBGYNs and with people who are pregnant, just to kind of see what the official medical guidance is. A lot of it kind of is the same as what I've been hearing about pre-existing conditions as well, that a lot of the official guidance is just call your doctor or call your primary care provider, as opposed to having a lot of, you know, official or strict guidance from the CDC. So that's one thing we've been talking about.
Erica, this has been really helpful, and you've done such a great job reporting on the pandemic and the vaccine. Before we leave, could you just talk a little bit about yourself and your role here at the Day? Because I know you've taken on at least one new one recently. What is your beat, and how long have you been with us?
So I have been at the Day since June of 2017, so a little more than 3.5 years. I, especially during the pandemic, have become a little bit more of a jack of all trades. I think the website says higher education and business. I definitely do more business than education, but with, unfortunately, our beloved military and defense reporter, Julia, just had her last day Friday, so I am picking up the Coast Guard Academy, so definitely have a lot to learn there. So yeah, higher education, business, Coast Guard Academy, doing coverage on nursing homes as well. And just within the past, you know, over the past year, obviously the pandemic has just upended our lives in so many ways that, you know, pretty much every reporter has to some extent become a coronavirus reporter. So sometimes I'm covering the governor's briefings or doing some explanatory journalism about the virus, about the vaccine. So and I'm very fortunate at the Day that I have editors who support me. And when I say, hey, this is really interesting, I want to write about this, that they just say, go for it. And have gotten some good feedback from some of that kind of scientific health and explanatory journalism I'm doing. So a little bit of a few different things.
That's great. And also, you've recently joined our editorial board. Have you started that yet? And what can our audience expect?
Yes. So I recently joined the Day editorial board. So I have only been to one meeting so far, but that's just, you know, a conversation that I'm now part of with other people on the editorial board about potential topics for editorials. I'm not involved at all in the writing of the editorials. We still maintain that separation between the opinion side and the newsroom side. So it's more just to have someone from the newsroom there to give another perspective in terms of what we're hearing, the hot button issues, the different topics that are up for consideration. So yes, that's something I'm excited about, to kind of see that perspective that I haven't really been a part of at the Day before. And I think that will also, you know, help me be a better journalist and think about stories in a different way, or to think about ideas for different stories.
Thank you, Erica. And we look forward to your story on the pregnancy and the vaccine and so much more in the days and weeks to come.
Thanks for having me.